We welcome you into the Gardener's Corner program, a Friday feature here on Radio Roxborough. My name is Rob Hall. The Gardener's Corner program presented today by Sandling Golf Cars and Trailers. JT Allison hauling and gravel. Jody and Kim rocking the county one load at a time. We're also brought to you by E.B. Harris Auctioneering. E.B. will be having a cattle auction next Saturday, the 31st, starting the new year off with a cattle auction at the Granville County Livestock Arena. We'll give you more information about that. And we're also brought to you today by Loftus and Son Land Services. Call Shorty and Jason Loftus with Loftus and Sons Land Services for all of your land clearing needs, whether it's a small job or a big job, they can handle it for you. Our special guest today is Mr. Johnny Coley with the North Carolina Cooperative Extension Service. Johnny is the horticultural agent for Person and Granville Counties. Good morning, Johnny, and it's cooler now than it was about 5 hours ago. Wouldn't you agree with that statement?
It is definitely a little airish outside, a little blowy, as my friend down in the Mag's Head says. It's a little bit blowy outside today. So, we woke up to 47 degrees, Rob, and I think the last time I looked at the thermometer, it's 33. So we're going the wrong direction today. Yeah. Anyway, we'll deal with it and get through.
Yeah, definitely. It's cooler now than it was 5 hours ago, and we'll be able to say the same thing 5 hours later. When I signed on this morning here at the radio station about 5:30, we had a temperature reading of 45 at the Person County Airport, the Raleigh Regional Airport at Person County, which is in Timberlake, 45 degrees. And I just checked, and it's 30. And it's going to get downright cold tonight. And cold weather is going to be with us through the whole Christmas weekend. And looking at Monday, you know, most of us don't, you know, get excited about Monday. But I think I am, because the high Monday is going to be 35. And on Tuesday, the high 41. So, and let me make mention of this. In the Gordon Street, Main Street area, right there close by the post office, Main Street is closed. A big tree fell and it took some power lines down, and the electric crews have been notified. But they're already out working a lot of different calls. So avoid that area around Main Street at the post office. Also, Conrad Kimbrough just brought in a press release from Duke Energy. And this was sent out about 20 minutes before 11 o'clock. And they are currently, at that time, 1,339 customers with outages in Person County on Duke Energy Network. And also in Person County, we have Piedmont Electric Membership Corporation. And so let's do everything that we can to give our power line workers as much room if they need to work. If you approach them and they're on side of the highway, please, please, please slow down. And, you know, when you have to veer around them, drive extremely slow, because these people are doing a dangerous job working with high voltage. And then when they factor in the traffic that they have to work in and around, it makes their job even more dangerous. But if you come across any fallen power lines, don't drive across them. Don't say, well, I'm going to just go ahead and drag this out of the road. Don't do that. Just call 911 if it's a power line down in the road and alert authorities, because if you was to drive across or try to remove a power line from the roadway, it could cause serious injury or death. And we want everyone to be safe. And hopefully, with the winds that we're having, we will, you know, be able to keep power outages at a very minimum. But, Johnny, along with all that being said, when cold weather comes in, it's a lot of preparations that have to be made. And one thing for those plant-loving people, if they have not already made some plans to how to protect their plants, now is the time they need to come up with a plan and put it in gear. Wouldn't you agree?
Yes, sir. Yeah. Now you want to go ahead and do that. You know, unfortunately, the wind's already up. So if you're going to do any wind breaks, which could help, you know, especially with the drying out of the plants. If you have a plant that's, you know, borderline hardy, some of our gardenias are borderline hardy. Lower petalums sometimes can burn a little bit from cold weather, especially as windy it is. They can dry out. You know, doing some wind breaks around them can help. At the temperatures we're going to have, you know, frost blankets will help some, but they're not going to, you know, keep the plants from getting, you know, they still can get pretty cold underneath those frost blankets. The main thing to remember when you're doing a frost blanket on a plant that might not be hardy is you want to come all the way to the ground. You know, a lot of people will put a sheet, and I say frost blanket, that's speaking of a material, a remedy type material that you can cover plants up with, but a sheet will work just as well. You just don't want to use plastic, but you want to come all the way to the ground with those, that fabric burlap. I mean, I've seen people, you know, use burlap. That'll trap some heat in as well. With the wind blowing, that's the thing tonight, Rob, is we've got a couple of different things. We've got the temperature going down and we have the wind as well. So, you know, the wind really, really takes the heat away from the plant, and it's a little harder to keep it trapped, keep that air, the warm air trapped when the wind is blowing. So, you know, we've got sort of a double thing to work with tonight. Last I saw was possibly 10 to 15 mile per hour winds through the night, which actually can help, because if it got to, you know, to be a steel wind, often that would make the temperatures go down lower. So for our area, the last I saw was about 9 degrees for a low tonight, with the winds blowing. If you can protect your plants a little bit, again, if it's a hardy plant, you know, our tried and true hardy plants, they're dormant. They're in good shape, but there are some that we like to, you know, maybe stretch the limits of their hardiness, and those plants are the ones you need to protect. Our herbaceous perennials, the perennials that die back to the ground, they should be fine. You could put some pine straw or mulch or something over them if you've got them mulched. Well, a lot of people will clean those up once the foliage dies. You know, just sort of cut those back and put some mulch over them, and that definitely insulates them well enough. But, you know, fortunately, you mentioned the forecast. It's not going to be a long time of cold. You know, we're going to warm them back up next week and be back in the 40s. And, you know, who would have thought that we'd be looking forward to a 40-degree weather? It's, you know, tomorrow, I believe, is below freezing. In this area, they're forecasting for the temperature to get above freezing Sunday. I'm getting my days mixed up, Rob. It's Sunday is actually Christmas. So Christmas Day, I believe it is, supposed to get above freezing. And also the sun is going to be out. You know, the sun, we're going to have full sun, and that definitely helps as well. Especially if you have something covered up and the ground can heat up a little bit and radiate that back. But it is, you know, it's really hard to do a whole lot of protecting plants before any, hopefully you've got your house plants already in and protected. And there's a lot of people who put those out for the wintertime, I mean, for the summertime, and then bring them back in. And hopefully you've already done that. We've already had temperatures that would have hurt any tropical plants that you don't have in. But do keep an eye on your tropical plants on the inside as well. You don't want to, and that's more of an insect and disease issue than it is cold issue. If you have your house plants in a room maybe that's not heated, or even if it's outside in a building that's not normally heated, you might want to, you know, do something for them tonight if those temperatures are going to, in that area, might get below freezing or even below 40 degrees. A lot of tropical plants, they're not like to be below, some below 50 even, but definitely below 40 will hurt your tropical plants. So a lot of people I know will bring them into a space that, you know, it stays warmer than outside, but it may not actually be a heated space, like a garage, for instance. On nights like tonight, it may actually get down cooler than what they would like to be in that space. So just some things to think about. You know, like I said, most of the plants that grow here that are perennial or woody ornamentals, like the trees and shrubs, our zone, Creemore is zone 7, get my zones right, because they've sub-grouped them now. Probably, you know, 7B maybe. Roxburgh is probably 7A, you know, depending on exactly where you are. So, you know, if you're a zone 7 plant, or if you have zone 7 plants planted in your yard, you should be good. Zone 8 plants, like I say, sometimes we like to stretch those hardinesses, I don't know if that's a word, but anyway, the hardiness of the plants. So you don't want to, want to protect those a little bit and not leave them exposed out there. But for the most part, you know, we should be okay. We've been colder. The wind chill factor is what's going to be the coldest. I think I've heard -7, and that doesn't affect the plants as much as the real temperature does. Because, you know, it feels like it to us that it's going to be -7, but to the plants, it's not as effective. It's the drying out that the wind can do damage to the plants, more so than the real field, if you want to say real field temperature.
Well, now, Johnny, this may sound like a crazy analogy, but warm-blooded creatures, they feel the effects of wind chill. From what I understand, cold-blooded animals do not feel the effects of wind chill. So, in a sense, what you're saying is, if you had to put plants in say, maybe either the warm-blooded or cold-blooded family, a plant would be more so a cold-blooded association, since the wind chill really doesn't affect them as much.
Yeah, and you're probably going to get above my pay grade real quick on the anatomy and the biology and everything of both of those. But because they don't really have a circulatory system. I mean, they have a vascular system, but they don't have a circulatory system that they're going to be pumping the blood and respire. Well, they do respire too, but they not like humans do. We put off heat. Plants don't do that so much. They do put off a little bit, but not as much as we do as warm-blooded animals. And like I said, you're gonna get above my pay grade real quick there. So
well, that's all right. That's all right. I'm just kind of putting that analogy together. Now, let's go back a few months when we were, you know, had the chance of frost coming in. Now, when it's cold temperatures, or, you know, right there at the, you know, temperature where chances of frost or blowing, that sometimes helps plants to keep from getting frost damage, though, right?
That is correct. If on a windy night, you know, if it's 20 degrees and it's windy, it's not going to frost. I doubt seriously we'll have a frost in the morning. We're not, you know, of course, at the temperatures we're talking about, frost is really irrelevant for tomorrow morning. It's the freeze.
Right. Yeah. Okay. Well, and that's just, you know, kind of what I was saying, that, and you said a little while ago, that the wind more or less just takes moisture out of the plants, as to where the cold weather will actually kill them or stunt the growth. Now, Johnny, I know a few weeks ago we talked about planting trees and shrubbery and things like that. If someone, you know, still has some trees that they have purchased, but they have not planted them, is it a good time to go ahead and get them planted now, or is it any urgency of doing that?
You mean plants that are just sitting out and not having been put in the ground?
That's right. This may be like in a container.
At this point, right now, we're dealing with wet soils. So that would be a factor that I would be concerned about as far as planting a plant now is it's after the rain we got yesterday. It's pretty wet. And so you wouldn't want to plant, today. A plant in the ground will definitely be more insulated. The roots are insulated. Now, if you've got a plant you bought, and it is out there, and you've been, you know, that you were going to plant it, you know, I'm as guilty as anybody, having plants in containers. You do want to protect them, maybe put them in an area that's going to have a little bit of a microclimate, you know, under a tree, underneath a tree is going to be a lot warmer than just sitting out. Oftentimes we'll put some pine straw or something around the pot, just to insulate it. You know, trapped air is your best insulation. So that pine straw, a thick enough layer of pine straw around that plant will help insulate the roots there. But just putting it up against a building, especially if it's like a brick foundation building or something that radiates maybe a little bit of heat there, you know, at night. It warms up during the day and then radiate that heat back to it at night, or like I said, under a tree. Trees, it's amazing how much warmer it is under a tree than it is out in the open. So you would want to protect them. Planting them, I would be concerned about being too wet. So, but in the ground, they are definitely more insulated when they're in the ground, because the roots, you usually like to worry about the roots. One thing you want to be sure of, that, and this is even in any kind of plant, is making sure they're moist enough. And if they've been outside, of course, after yesterday, they should be fine as far as moisture goes. But if you have them again in an area that is covered or something, you know, make sure that moisture level is okay. You don't want those root system to dry out. Because the water itself will insulate it to a certain degree. And then, you know, but if it's just dry and doesn't have any moisture around it, it's going to get whatever the air temperature is. And that could definitely damage it. So, you know, it's just some things to, don't mean to put any alarm on anybody. It's just some things to think about, that if you do have some plants that are outside, you just want to protect them some, and you could even put a little bit of pine straw over, you know, some plants that are exposed, pansies or something like that. You would want to take that straw or whatever off after this cold. Pansies usually bounce back fine. and the, you know, woody ornamentals, even if they die, die back, have some die back in them. And again, fig trees are a plant that sometimes will die back some. Usually they come back from the roots. You know, it does take a little while in the spring for them to do that, but they will, even if they are damaged in a cold, snap like this or a cold period during the winter, they will still survive.
Well, you know, Johnny, several years back, we had, some cold weather that we thought that it just killed all the fig bushes and things. And, but you're right. They kind of rejuvenated and came back like they had never been harmed. And so, it's interesting how some plants, you know, can survive and then some cannot. But Johnny, just this question, you know, this time of the year, you know, in some of the holiday, you know, songs, they talk about figgy pudding. I love figs, but I've never had figgy pudding. Have you?
I've never had any figgy pudding. I have not. I'm not sure what part of the country that is made, but I've never had figgy pudding. My mother-in-law made fig preserves. I know a lot of people like fig preserves.
Absolutely. They are delicious. They sure are. What is your, do you have a favorite, Christmas treat dessert?
Well, it's hard to beat pecan pie.
Absolutely.
I agree. I always tell people, you know, there's no bad pecan pie. Some pecan pies are better than others, but it's no such thing as a bad pecan pie. My mother makes a chocolate cake that's homemade icing, like a fudge icing, and that's always good. I guess it's, you know, it's just a special treats when you know you don't get them very often. You know, something you had every day, you wouldn't think of it as much of a treat, but yes, you know, once or twice a year, that is a treat to have those. But unfortunately not real prejudiced when it comes to my sweet and my desserts. I could name several that are good, but
I think my preference is first available.
First available, maybe that's the closest one to you, at the table. There's lots of good treats, a lot of nice Christmas treats that people do make. But one other note on the plants, Rob, and one plant just came to mind is camellias. Camellia. And the one I'm thinking about is Camellia japonica. Camellia cinquefolia bloom in the fall. A lot of them have already done what they're going to do for the year. There are some hybrids out there that are blooming. But the japonicas, they're budded up at this point. They have the flower buds, and a cold spell like this will often, cause them to drop buds, hopefully not all the buds. And at this stage, you know, depending on variety, they still may be protected enough, that the calyx, which protects the flower buds, may still be tight enough. But as they start to open a little bit, when you get a cold spell, a lot of times you will have those camellias to drop buds. Not going to hurt the plant other than, you're not going to have as many blooms, of course. But that is something to, you know, if you do see that, don't be, you know, over alarmed. Just know that it is going to, you're not going to have the blooms on them. But that's just another plant that came to mind when we're talking about cold, because that is often the japonica, Camellia japonicas are often, those buds are often hurt and will drop off.
Now, Johnny, we don't want to rush through Christmas time, but we like to kind of, you know, plan ahead and give out some friendly advice. Now, by this time next week, a lot of folks will still have their Christmas trees up, and some of them will have started taking them down. Can you offer any advice to put a live Christmas tree to use after it has served its purpose as a Christmas tree?
Well, there's lots of different things, Rob, that you can do with and we're thinking of live Christmas trees now. I don't do any of these with the artificial Christmas trees, but the live Christmas trees that we have up, and you know, once we get all the lights off of it and all the ornaments off of it, and if you put tinsel on it, you know, try to get as much of that off before you do most of these things. Well, in fact, all of these, you want to get the decorations off, and the tinsel, a couple of things. One is you can put it near your bird feeders. If you have some bird feeders, like to put it out and give the birds sort of a refuge near the bird feeders, that they can get into the tree. You can actually, you know, put some feed, different types of feeders maybe inside the tree for the birds to be able to get in there and eat. Just gives them a little bit of protection near the bird feeders. If you like to fish, you can use them as a, sink them in a pond or a lake in order to, have some refuge for the fish and some areas for the fish to, sort of have a habitat there for the fish to feed on or feed around, and also to maybe the little fish to get away from the big fish, you know, give them a little bit of I've heard crappy hurdles or, you know, just, thing under the, a reef, type, thing that you're making underneath the water there for the fish. One thing you want to do though, if, you know, you want to make sure that if you do it in somebody else's pond, you ask for permission before you go out and just do that. You don't want to, go put out, a tree like that in somebody else's pond without asking permission. And also, if you do it in a lake, you probably want to make sure it's okay with the lake authority or whatever. I know we have, you know, got several pretty good sized lakes up in, Person County. So we want to, you know, make sure it's okay. And you put that out there, but that's a good, thing to do with a tree. You can, you know, a lot of people have fire pits, so you can trim the old, with the smaller limbs, you can trim those smaller limbs off and compost them. They'll break down, in your compost pile. And then the trunk you can cut up and use in your fire pit, is a good use for them. I've read that, you know, you could cut it up and, let the log dry out for next year and use it, you know, for a Christmas log next year if you have a fireplace inside the house. So there's lots of different things. You can chip them if you have a chipper. Some people have, you know, chippers at their house. You can chip it up and make mulch out of it. It'll take a while for the trunk to break down if you don't chip it. But the, you know, the branches are small enough that they can compost it and reuse. I mean, it's a, the good thing about a live Christmas tree is it's a totally renewable, resource, a natural resource. So, can do that. And I've got, I think I mentioned maybe a couple weeks ago, Rob, about some facts on North Carolina Christmas trees, sort of by the numbers. And this is 2016 data. So it's a little old data, but it's, I think still relevant. As far as the industry as a whole, about 5 to 6 million Christmas trees are harvested in North Carolina annually. So that's quite a few Christmas trees. On a retail value, that's about $250 million for just the Christmas trees. And then you can add another $25 million to that for value-added products such as wreaths and roping and swags, table decorations and things like that. So, you know, about $275 million as far as the industry goes altogether if you add those two on a retail, you know, the retail value. Put an extra zero on that. 40,000 acres in North Carolina is under production of Christmas trees.
Wow.
Plus. So quite a few acres of Christmas trees in North Carolina. And they're in the eastern part of the state and the western part. Of course, 96% of the trees that are grown are the Fraser fir. But there are some other ones that I mentioned those a couple of weeks ago that we grow in the eastern part and the Piedmont where we are now. Some other varieties like Carolina Sapphire, Leyland Cypress, Arizona Cypress, Green Giant Arborvitaes, things like that can be grown. This is amazing, Rob. Through the lifetime of a Christmas tree, it's the least amount of times it will be visited for shaping or fertilizing or treating with pesticides or whatever it might be done. About 100 times. 100 times is the least amount that a Christmas tree will be visited over the life of the tree.
It's a very labor intensive type of farming, isn't it?
It is. I mean, you don't just plant the tree and then, you know, 8 years later go out and harvest it. You gotta be out there tending to it just like anything else. Yeah. So most trees are going to be five. And the faster growing species, like the one we grow in the Piedmont, the eastern part of the state, 5 years or more as far as their age, and then the Fraser firs are going to be 8 to 10 years old when they're harvested. So, yeah, it's quite a process.
Johnny, one other thing I make mention of, and then we need to get on a couple of messages for our sponsors. I was watching a program on RFD TV, and it's Texas Country Reporter. And it's a group in some part of Texas where people donate their old Christmas trees, and they take the Christmas tree and they remove all the limbs and everything off of it, and they make walking canes for veterans. And they say they have a huge waiting list of veterans wanting a walking cane, and that all of it is done free of charge, and I think they do receive donations. But most of the people that help make these walking canes they do it on a volunteer basis. So it's a lot of uses for, per se, the afterlife of a Christmas tree. So
yeah.
Just bear those thoughts in mind. Let's get a word on for Loftus and Sons Land Services and E.B. Harris Auctioneering. More Gardener's Corner after these messages. James Shorty Loftus and Jason Loftus are proud to announce that they are the owners and operators of Loftus and Son Land Services, LLC. Call James Shorty Loftus at 336-592-6381 or call Jason Loftus at 919-282-4780 for all of your grading, landscaping, forestry, mulching, field edging, cleanup, driveways, and gravel work. That's Loftus and Sons Land Services, LLC. Family-owned land services with over 40 years experience spanning three generations. Again, you can call James Shorty Loftus at 336-592-6381 or Jason Loftus at 919-282-4780. Be sure to check out that Facebook page, Loftus and Sons Land Services, LLC.
FM 96.7 WKRX.
E.B. Harris Auctioneering NCAL 1468 announces the 33rd annual Starting the New Year Cattle Auction to be held Saturday, December 31st at 10 a.m. at the Granville County Livestock Arena, 4200 Kennedy Mill Road in Oxford. For terms, more information, and to view pictures of cattle up for auction, log on to ebharris.com. You can also call EB at 252-257-2140. This auction will be available online at ebharris.com or in-person bidding at 4200 Kennedy Mill Road in Oxford. Cow-calf pairs, bred cows and heifers, and herd sires. Up for auction, 46 commercial Centipole Cross South Pole cows. They will also have black Sim Angus and a red Angus bull. Log on to ebharris.com for more information or call EB at 252-257-2140. That sale is Saturday, December 31st at 10 a.m. at the Granville County Livestock Arena in Oxford. We do appreciate the support of E.B. Harris Auctioneering. Contact E.B. if you're interested in cattle panels, round hay bale feeders, and other livestock equipment. And we also appreciate the support of Loftus and Son Land Services. Johnny, any pesticide credit management courses coming up anytime soon?
We do have some pesticide recertification classes scheduled. They're starting in February, February 2nd and February 8th. We'll have a V training. A V is for your private applicators. You have to have 2V and 2X over a 3-year period. So we'll have the V training on February 2nd at from 6 to 8 p.m. in the evening, and February 8th from 8:30 to 10:30 in the morning. So February 2nd, February 8th, you can get your V training. Person County office building, we'll have those there on the Caleb Berry Hill. We'll have the V trainings at the Person County office building, and then I'll be in Granville County on those same days and times with the V training there. So we'll actually be a together class, but people come face to face. They come in person to the class. But Michaela and myself, and actually Paul McKenzie and Matthew Place from Warren and Vance counties will be joining us as well. But those two, and then on February 14th, there's something else important going on there, February 14th, too. I forget.
Know. I'm like you, it is something. I can't think of what it is right now. But anyway, maybe that Valentine's. Thought will come to us. That's right.
There you go.
Valentine's, you're right. It is Valentine's Day.
It is Valentine's Day. We'll have a multi pesticide class that day from 1 to 3 in the afternoon. So we're not going to interfere with anybody's plans that evening, but 1 to 3 in the afternoon on February 14th. So that'll be a multi-category class. So that'll cover your X, your L, your D. Gracious, I've gone blank on all the different ones. But, pretty much any of them. We won't do aerial. But a lot of the other ones we will carry. So on February 14th from 1 to 3 o'clock, and that will be at the same locations: Person County office, extension office, and Granville County extension office. We'll have those coming up, and then we'll have other ones throughout the year. Those are the three we have scheduled right now for the springtime, and as time gets closer. We will send out letters, especially to the private applicators. If you need the credits, we'll be sending out letters to you and letting you know that whether you need a V or an X or not. But private applicators need 2V and 2X every 3 years. So if you've gotten your V and your X over the last couple of years, then you should be good. If anybody has any question on pesticide license, please contact the Cooperative Extension Office, either in Granville or Person County, and we'll be glad to look that information up for you and let you know where you stand on your pesticide license. So please don't let those expire. Just keep a check on it. We try to notify everybody, try to let everybody know, but unfortunately, it does slip through the cracks sometimes. So if you will, keep up, look at your license and see when they expire and make sure you get your license, recertification or your pesticide recertification classes that you need to renew your license, each year. And, the private applicators, you have to get your recertification by the end of September. So don't want to let that lapse and, get in the middle of October and realize you need it because that time will already gone by. For commercial applicators, that date is June 30th. So it's a little bit earlier in the year that you need to take care of yours. So just keep those dates in mind. And, again, if you have any questions about your pesticide license, recertification requirements, recertification, hours that you might have, or need, please just contact either the Person County office at 336-599-1195 or the Granville County office at 919-603-1350.
All righty, we need to catch up on a couple of ads. More Gardener's Corner with Johnny Coley right after these messages.
Do you have those annoying potholes in your driveway? Need some driveway regrading? Or maybe you just need some new gravel? Give J.T. Allison a call. Jody has been in business for over 25 years, specializing in driveway grading and hauling gravel. He also does all types of small tractor work and some backhoe and bush hogging work. Jody strives to do a top-notch job and to make sure that you, the customer, is always happy. Whether it's a small job or a big job, we have multiple truck sizes to accommodate your needs. Here at J.T. Allison, we appreciate your business. Check us out on Facebook at J.T. Allison, LLC, or give us a call at 336-583-6250. Jody and Kim Allison, we are rocking the county one load at a time.
Sandlin Golf Cars and Trailers is located 613 Lewis Street in Oxford. Open for business weekdays 8 to 5, Saturdays 9 till 1. Call 1-800-221-9267 or 919-693-4626. Al, Hillary, and Will, there to serve you with all of your golf car needs. They have club car, Easy Go, and Yamaha units. If you're wanting a gasoline or an electric golf car, they have them at Sandlin Golf Cars and Trailers. Trojan Batteries, Parts and Repair Service. Thinking about a new grill? Check out the Wilmington Grills at Sandlin Golf Cars and Trailers. Speaking of trailers, they have utility, dump, enclosed, stock, and equipment trailers. That's Sandlin Golf Cars and Trailers in Oxford. 919-693-4626. Toll free 1-800-221-9267. Sandlin Golf Cars and Trailers. If you're in need of a last minute gift idea, contact J.T. Allison, Jody and Kim Allison, and maybe purchase a gift certificate for a load of gravel for someone's driveway that you may know that is in need of gravel. That'd make a nice gift. Something else, Sandlin Golf Cars and Trailers. They have Wilmington grills, all kinds of different parts, tires, wheels, accessories for golf cars, utility trailers, and more. And I don't know about you, Johnny Coley, but if somebody gave me a gift card for a load of gravels, it would put a smile on my face. And if someone gave me a gift card to Sandlin Golf Cars and Trailers, that would also put a smile on my face. Lots of different things from either place would be handy.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. That is for sure. Yeah, I always need gravel. Seems like things need gravel around the farm or really anywhere. You always need a little bit of gravel to fill in some holes or fill in some low areas in the driveway or whatever. So, yeah, that's a perfect gift. And, of course, Sandlin Golf Cars, I mean, that's always a good place to shop. I saw Mr. Sandlin out in Oxford. One day uncut since in the last couple of weeks. Anyway, I hadn't seen him in a while, and it's good to see him.
Yeah, they you know, got a good selection. Now, Johnny, something else, a nice gift certificate would be for someone to pay for that garden lover in their family to pay their tuition for the Master Gardeners program.
Oh, that would be a good, that would be a good Christmas present. I hadn't thought about that. I should have marketed it in that way. To hire you from a marketing person. So that would be a great Christmas gift. We do have the Extension Master Gardener training coming up in February, which is getting closer and closer to that time. It's amazing how time just marches on, and we're here at the end of December and getting ready for that and looking forward to the class. I've got several applications, several people interested in taking the class, and still have room for plenty more. So if you're interested in taking the Master Gardener training, that starts up in February. It'll be every Thursday, starting February 9th through the middle of May. We're going to have classes at the Berea Volunteer Fire Department right there in downtown Berea. If anybody's familiar with Berea, it's right on 158 going toward Oxford. It's sort of in between Oxford, in between Granville and Person counties, right? You know, not too far from the line there. So we're going to have each class there every Thursday from starting at 9 o'clock and going till 12. So it's a 3-hour class every Thursday, starting February 9th, going through May 5th. I can't remember the exact date of May, but it's the middle of May, sometime in there. So, you know, get in touch with me, give me a call or send me an email, and be glad to send you some information about the class. The training is just the beginning of the Master Gardener volunteer program. You take the training, and then within the first year of having the training, you get 20 educational hours and 40 volunteer hours, and you become a certified Master Gardener. And then every year following that, 10 educational hours and 20 volunteer hours will continue your recertification, and you'll continue to be a certified Master Gardener. So I think since we talked, right, I can't remember if the wreath workshop has been since we talked or not. We had a very successful wreath workshop with the Master Gardener Association of Granville and Person County.
Y'all had that. Was it on the second Saturday in December?
It's the first Saturday, so maybe we have talked since then. I guess
we have, but I don't think you talked about, you know, how well it turned out. And it seems that I had the thought on my mind to ask you about how it turned out, and I remember that it was rain in the forecast that day. But so you had a good turnout, though.
We did. We had several people that decided not to come because of the weather. It ended up not being, it's cold. We were under a shelter, so the rain didn't bother us, and the temperatures weren't like they are today, fortunately. So we weren't real cold. But I think we had about 22 people.
Wow.
And we had, great participation, great choices of what to make their wreaths out of. And everybody seemed to be very, very pleased with the event. The Master Gardeners are already getting their thoughts together for next year's event. So this is an event that we'll continue to have, or at least plan to continue to have each year. Usually the first Saturday in December. So go ahead and mark your calendars for, go ahead and get that 2023 calendar out and start putting dates on there. Put that on there, for the first Saturday in December. We will, have it at the Person County, auditorium there at the office building, next year. May also have another location, but right now that's the plan. So just stay in in touch or keep tuned for information about that as it gets closer. But the Master Gardener training, please give me a call if you want more information about that, or send me an email. I'll get you an application. We do have an application for you to fill out for that training, just to get some information from you, so as far as your levels or skills of master gardeners, of gardening, I'm sorry, of having gardening experience. And all levels of experience can be a master gardener, Rob. You don't have to be an expert gardener in order to be, take the master gardener training. That's what the training's all about, is to help you become a better gardener. So, you don't think you have to be, an expert gardener when you sign up for the class. That's what we're trying to do, is for you to become a master gardener. So, please, be in contact with me, and still have plenty of room in the class. It is $150 off fee for the class, but that does include a textbook. So that is a charge for the Master Gardener class. But,
well, Johnny, even though the Extension Service offices are closed today, but if someone listening just said, that'd be the perfect gift, they could just handwrite just to say, I'm going to pay your tuition for the Master Gardeners program that will start in February. And then they can contact you next week when the offices open back up and go ahead and pay the registration fee and everything, correct?
We can get that set up. Yes, sir. Yep. If somebody wants to do that for someone, just write it out on as a gift card, or put it on, print it on a computer, however you want to do it. And then, because we're not taking monies yet, get a little bit closer to the time before we actually take the money. So, yeah, I mean, that would be perfect.
Well, Johnny, I want to wish you and your family a Merry Christmas. Appreciate what you and all the other agents of the North Carolina Cooperative Extension Service does. And we want to say a special thanks to Loftus and Sons Land Services, Sandling Golf Cars and Trailers, E.B. Harris Auctioneering. Remember, he has a cattle auction next Saturday, the 31st, at the Granville County Livestock Arena on Kennedy Mill Road. And we also appreciate the support of Jody and Kim Allison of J.T. Allison, LLC, rocking the county one load at a time. Johnny, have a wonderful, happy, and safe, and Merry Christmas again. And thanks to all of our listeners of the Gardener's Corner program. And we wish you a Merry Christmas as well.